The strength by Mars in the pitch. Swung on and hit the right field. That's way back there. Way back there. Hold on! Tigers win! Tigers win!
Scheffler gets away towards the dugout. Here comes Bianco! Tigers win! Tigers win!
All right, welcome back to another edition of Tigers Win. Harrison Valentine joined by some of South Stadium Production's finest, Dawson Ahrensdorf, Matt Tornquist, Giovanni Lamani. I wanted to have them on to talk about some of their projects they've been working on, all nominated, Emmy-nominated projects. They just got back from Hollywood. Not Hollywood in L.A., but Hollywood in Florida, where the Suncoast Emmy ceremony was held. And guys, congratulations on all your accolades, and good to have you here.
Appreciate it. What's up, Harrison?
Thanks, Harrison.
So let's start broad, first off. Can you kind of tell our listeners about your Emmy-nominated projects and what the goal was when you started them? I know a lot of them of our viewers and our listeners have probably already seen them and consumed your content, but let's start from a broad scale and kind of tell our listeners about your projects and what you like, what the goal was.
Go ahead, Dawson.
Yeah, so for Powerhouse was our six episode baseball series that we started. The first episode went out back in February 16th or something like that. But yeah, we laid out the structure of it to be a bigger window in between episodes. We had just come off the football docuseries, The Path, where we put one out every single week, and kind of realized that the format of it would be different just because the baseball season is so long and 56 games, I think it is. So we blocked out about 3 to 4 week windows for each episode. And that the goal for that was just to allow bigger stories and themes to build. Like if Paul Skeens is on an absolute tear, that's something that we'll lean into for that episode. So that was kind of the initial goal for it. But in terms of storytelling, we wanted to feature two guys per episode on it and kind of get to know them and their background to get the fans to connect on another level, and humanize them was the biggest thing. And that's one thing that I've always tried to do on my projects, and just kind of see the person behind, you know, someone throwing 95 miles an hour. But yeah, we finished through six episodes, went to the most amount of episodes that we could have done, which is great. Yeah, really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, so for The Climb, it was a docuseries just like The Powerhouse. We started in December, so about 2 weeks before the actual season started, and we ended up doing 10 episodes throughout the length of the season. And it basically just covered whatever was going to be happening. We didn't have that much of a plan besides kind of just roll with the punches and see what happened. And the season was kind of unlike any other season that I had been a part of. We had a lot of injuries, but we were still very competitive in all of our meets, and many different storylines formed during the season that we weren't aware of that were going to happen before the season. So kind of just took everything as it came and recorded the interviews, recorded the meets, and put something together that was pretty special.
So kind of to contrast, where these guys were making hours of content over many, many months of work doing these super deep storytelling pieces. Mine was 59 seconds. So mine was a one-off piece that got nominated. It was the Justin Jefferson Offensive Player of the Year when he was up for that via the NFL last season. And so it was put together in celebration of him winning the trophy, which he ended up doing. We would have found a way to use it if he had not. I don't know exactly what that would have looked like, but it was one of those projects where we would have come up with a backup plan. So I had seen these jerseys that we have in a hallway over at Football Ops, 49 Degrees, that does our facility design, installed those, and I kind of just riffed on that existing idea to do some projection mapping and a little bit more of a controlled environment where I could be a little more specific and have some more freedom with it. And
how long did that setup take to make?
I spent like a week, like setting up the jersey, shooting, and like testing everything. Obviously, like all the animation was done before I shot it, so I essentially had to edit the video, like to sound and everything, then project it and shoot it, and then re-edit again after I shot it. If that makes sense.
That's an element I didn't think about, because if you already have the highlights projected on it, so it's not like you just listed a bunch of highlight of his high school plays and then a bunch of his college ones. It was all like timed up.
Yeah, it was pretty much like the video was cut beforehand and then it was animated into the mat that was the shape of the jersey, and then it was shot again. So like the final edit, it was kind of similar to the That Kid Jaden launch, where like it was done in advance, and then the final edit is relatively simple because it's all done in camera.
Next one's for Gio and Dawson. Each sport really requires a different creative process when you think about it. Can you kind of walk our listeners through your mindset at the beginning of the season and how your teams and the season that they were having kind of impacted your storytelling?
Yeah, so when you ask that right away, you think of I think of Paul and Dylan, our two studs that went 1 and 2 in the draft, and we covered them, both of them, in episode three, in the Powerhouse. And I think that paid off in the long run because it ended up being one of the most viewed pieces of content on Gold. And it was unique because I think we knew the title of the episode before we even started covering it.
What was the title?
It's called Star Power. And and sometimes I think of a Mario Kart reference so that's kind of funny. But having those two studs, almost back-to-back in complimenting each other in the episode was really unique, and we're working with a lot. And we really wanted to, like I said earlier, humanize them while also showing how great they are, you know, on the field. And throughout the season, we're covering the Tennessee series and the Arkansas series, which were two phenomenal homestands for us that they both balled out in. And so it really worked out pretty well in, you know, just the natural games that were on the schedule, and ended up pairing them really well with the stories we were telling with.
I remember when Cody was coming up with and a lot of our baseball people were coming up with the Powerhouse motto. We were like, if we win the national championship, we have to name that last Powerhouse episode Power Restored.
Yeah,
and that was just such an awesome finale name. Mm-hmm. Gio, what about you?
Going through the season, like I said, we didn't know that we were going to have all these storylines that weren't necessarily, you know, beating big teams, or it was more of our girls kind of going down and having to rally around each other to do what they ended up doing. But whenever you talk about like Dylan and Paul, it's kind of like Kaya and Haley for me. Like those are our two, you know, star power players. But the thing about them is, you know, they're great at what they do, but they're very just level, and their story is, you know, they're really good. So whenever we had to figure out what to do with them, we had to kind of make it seem a little bit more interesting with, you know, supplementing other characters coming in and interviewing other people. So each episode kind of got its own person that helped tell the story of the team as a whole, but kind of viewed it through each person's lens. So each episode is kind of unique, as you see, like from Alona's perspective, or Aaliyah's with her sister who came here, and like things like that. So it was just using kind of their stories as a medium to tell the entire team's bigger story.
I got a question. I'm a take over the hosting duties for a minute.
Please do.
With y'all's episodes, each one is coming out to what, give or take 20 minutes total in length. Yeah. How much is cut? Like, how much total footage is going into each episode? And, like, what percentage is that 20 minutes, do you think?
I think I've cut.
I mean, like, what's an average interview length?
Each interview was close to 20 minutes. And that coaches and the guys especially. There's a lot of storylines that were left out. Like Cade Beloso gave a really great interview when we covered him in episode 5. And there was a lot cut. There's our interview with Ben McDonald for episode 5. He talked about Skip Bertman like a ton, and all those old Skip stories were, you know, on the cutting room floor. So we didn't include a lot of those, and it's tough seeing some of those get left behind. But yeah, it is very hard cutting some of those down and being impartial to it, mm-hmm. unbiased to some of those storylines. But yeah, that is a big challenge in each episode.
Yeah, I mean, each interview for us probably went 30, 40 minutes. Like, we had very long, extensive interviews because they were very conversational, just like picking the girls' brains and talking about everything. I'd say probably a little over half of each interview got used. So, I mean, there's a good 20 minutes of interviews that never see the timeline. And then as far as scenes that are built out throughout each episode, I mean, each scene's probably like 5 to 8 minutes. And, I mean, there were scenes that I would build out, and then I would just be like, this doesn't fit in the story, and kind of just have to get rid of it. And
What's your favorite thing that you had laid out on a timeline at one point that then nobody ever saw?
There was a really good – so it was in episode 7 whenever Kai – this was Kai's Achilles that had gone on this time. And her and Alona were very close, and – throughout the whole episode, you already knew who Alona was, and throughout the whole episode, I was kind of building just their relationship of, like, Kai talked about her, then Alona talked about her, and then you kind of had this moment after the meet where they talked to each other. But there was a really good conversation they had that was about 2 minutes long during the meet, where Kai was mic'd up, and they were both just sitting. I was behind them, but they were sitting one next to the other, and you could see them, and they were just talking about whenever they met as freshmen and, like, whenever they came here, and just how the coaches had, like, helped them up until this point, and how, like, it wasn't the coach's fault that, like, these things were happening and that this year was just so different. And ultimately it ended up getting cut just because of staff reasons. But that was just one of the most raw emotional pieces that I had to leave out.
What were some of your guys' favorite elements about working with these projects? You talk about humanizing athletes, giving fans an inside look at the program that they wouldn't normally have. You talk about unprecedented access, telling meaningful stories. It has to be fulfilling as a creator to do all those things, right?
Yeah, for me, just thinking about specific scenes to where Cade's talking about his ACL recovery and the journey of what it took to come back, and Jay Johnson also basically saying the same thing of what Cade's telling us. So, like, matching and stopping and starting those interviews and to play off those points and really connect the dots, that's kind of what really makes me excited about, you know, watching something back when it's done, is like seeing the process of each interview. Like, we did them all individually, but pairing them and matching them all together to weave out through a 20-minute episode is really cool to look back at.
For gymnastics is a kind of weird sport because it's subjective. It's literally like, you know, if, you know, in basketball, if the ball goes in the hoop, it's 2 points. You know, in gymnastics, if you land, you could get anywhere from a 9.9 to a 10. So, like, there's a lot of on social media, there's a lot of hateful people, like, on Twitter, and they call it the gymternet, where they will tweet bad things about the girls who are just trying to do their job. And a lot of what I saw on Twitter from what came from the climb was like, oh, I don't hate LSU now. Like, I don't hate these girls now because I see them genuinely. And, like, I feel like for me, that's very rewarding because in the past, like, we haven't been able to do this. So everyone just sees them whenever they go out to compete on Fridays. They only see them whenever they're posting on Instagram or TikTok. But, like, they were actually able to see, like, oh, Alona's just a normal girl. You know, Leah's just, like, a regular girl who just loves her sister and all these things. So, like, it really humanized them. And I think in the grand scheme of, you know, the sport, gave them a better outlook.
Did Jets interact with your tweet?
I was going to say my project is so out of place in this conversation. We're talking about all this long-form storytelling, and I'm like, I just wanted to make a cool video.
Yeah, well.
He did interact with it. We didn't get, like, confirmation on the front end that he would, like, you know how they have, like, the collab post action? Mm-hmm. We wanted to collab post it with him, and we didn't get, like, full confirmation, but somebody with his agency was with him that I know and was like, yeah, I'll tell him to collab post it once it's live. So we just like, and that was at the time when you could only collab post with one person. So we just kind of had to risk it. And so we sent it, and then he did collab post it on Instagram. So
that's that funny. Was.
I did have one question for you, Matt. Because we talk about like pre-production and how long it takes to like set up everything and do all the things technically, but how much time is spent just thinking about the project before you ever touch anything?
I don't know. It's hard to say like an exact amount of time because like some of those ideas are like an iteration of an idea that I had a year ago and that's been iterated 60 times before it actually like comes together into an idea that I can actually form. Or sometimes it just like I'm sitting in a room and it just pops in and it's like, okay, that's the one. I don't remember specifically because that was from February. So it's been 10 months at this point. So like actually honestly going back and like rewatching some of the behind the scenes and that sort of thing over this past weekend, kind of reflecting on it brought back some interesting memories. I don't remember how long it took me to come up with the idea. It was just one of those things where like once I had it in my head, it was one of those ideas that I had to tell our football crew. I'm like, look, trust me. I don't know how to explain what this is going to be, but just let me go do it. And like the whole trust the process thing, it worked out.
You talk about you being left out of the conversation. I feel a little bit left out of the conversation because these are three uber talented creative minds, and I wish I had their creative mind as well. Were all three of you in Hollywood for the ceremony?
Me and Gio went.
Can you guys kind of walk our listeners through what that experience was like for you and how cool that was just to have your project showcase on that level?
Yeah, I was at the Diplomat Hotel, which was a very, very nice hotel in Hollywood, Florida. And, you know, it was pretty much everything you would expect in an Emmy Awards ceremony to be. I mean, you had the black tie attire and, you know, you had the photo stations. There was a live feed, apparently, where people were getting interviewed whenever we were walking out.
I was waiting for y'all on the red carpet.
Yeah, I avoided that spot because it seemed pretty nerve-wracking.
But you did have to talk to a microphone at one point. We'll get to that in a little bit.
But, yeah, I mean, it was cool. They had, you know, just a lot of tables and just people were there.
How many people were there?
I think it was 850.
800 wow, something.
It was sold out. So they had a bunch of tables, had dinner before, and then the full ceremony was going down the list of all the nominees, and there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
It took a while. It takes a while to get through all of those.
And also, side note, the most of the people there were like, for broadcast news and everything, there were a very small percentage of sports people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have had it on Championship Saturday. So we were keeping up with the games as the ceremony was going.
How many sports awards won? Like, how many sports awards were nominated in from what you saw?
There's a couple of organizations. Like, Tampa Bay Lightning had a couple nominations.
Saints were in there a good amount of times.
Miami Heat had a couple, won a couple. Florida Gators had a winner.
There was also some, like, sports stuff, too, from, like, the news side, where it would be, like, a local news station's coverage of LSU.
Did you watch from home?
I was watching on and off. I was a little confused for the first half, like the order, and then they cued me into that the order was not the number award. They had a separate order, and so like as soon as I looked at the actual agenda rundown thing, I was like two awards away. So I'm like, okay, I gotta lock in now. And then their category was probably 10 or so after that. It came pretty quick, and so I tuned in for a little bit.
So what was Matt Tornquist's reaction to winning the award from Baton Rouge?
I was at the Bulldog.
Okay.
Caleb was there too. Caleb from our team was there separately, but he was also watching and keeping an eye on our table at the Bulldog. And so I couldn't hear it because we were at a loud environment.
Yep.
And so I had a little closed captions on and everything was spelled wrong. But as soon as I saw Justin Jefferson pop up on there.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Gave a little smile.
Well, We were hoping you would win too, but like once they got to your spot, if you weren't attending, they don't play your video.
Mm-hmm.
So like yours, was definitely the most hype and the most energy that would have been up on the screen in a while, just because you have a bunch of news and then their new stuff is great. But like the hype video for Justin Jefferson would have been cool to see on the screen as well. But at the ceremony, I felt a little bit of imposter syndrome just because a few of these people are like, you know, well into their, you know, 40, 50 year old people who've been doing this their whole lives. To where, like, yeah, this is probably their 5th, 8th Emmy ceremony, mm-hmm. and you know they're gonna win. So, I don't know. It was cool seeing that community of people, and just high level of people that work in that industry as well. So, it was cool being there.
Yeah, you could tell it was a lot of people's, like, multiple times that had already been there.
I mean, a couple of tables they like won every other award. This one news station was cheering every other time, yeah. But it's cool.
Let's look at the opposite side of the coin for a little bit. I know you guys work long hours, late nights. I see you in there grinding away at, you know, God knows what hour of the day. Can you kind of talk about some of the challenges that these projects present, and why that makes it so much more fulfilling in the end to kind of produce something like this?
I'm kind of out of place here on this one, because mine was like, again, it was a week and a half long where...
Still a grind, though.
That was everything I did for that week and a half.
Or just maybe something else football-related that, you know, I don't know, the path or...
The whole season. It's a grind. Are you deferring?
Yep.
Pleading the fifth.
So one challenge for me that comes to mind is scheduling. These guys are pretty high-profile guys to where they have a lot of stuff to do during the season, especially doing an in-season docuseries. So finding the time to get them to sit down, finding space to sit down in the baseball facility, definitely a challenge that the viewers might not see, but it's all those tiny details that kind of add up sometimes and makes it a little bit of a challenge. But we had a great team. Ashley did a great job of coordinating and producing a lot of those interviews and having a great relationship with a lot of the staff, and so she deserves a lot of credit for that nomination as well, and just the staff giving us access to.
Yeah, I'd say a big obstacle is just time, like just figuring out how to divvy up your time in a way that makes sense for your own life. You know, I mean, like obviously this is what we do, but it's not the only thing that we do. I mean, we were going in, like I said, our interviews were about 30 to 40 minutes. We'd probably shoot 2 per episode. I was putting out an episode every 2 weeks, so that was 2 meets. I mean, each meet has easily 3 hours of footage, so that's about 6, 7, 8 hours of footage that you're trying to cut down to 30 minutes every 2 weeks for 3.5 months. So it's like, it just sometimes, if you think about it like that, I just think about how do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time. Like, I would lay everything down and just kind of look at it and be like, yo, I don't know how I'm going to cut this down. But thankfully, I mean, he has Ashley. I had Alyssa, and then also had Logan and Dawson actually shot some gymnastics meet. Garrison had a bunch of people helping shooting. Alyssa helped with scheduling. So, like, even though we're the ones who were nominated for the awards, like, it does take a village to do all of these things. So, big shout-out to everyone involved. Mm-hmm.
Gym season's coming up. Football season's kind of winding down right now. Baseball season's in, you know, it's lull as well. What are some things that you guys are working on right now that you guys are excited about?
Yeah, doing a lot of pre-production planning, just kind of laying out the general framework for everything for Powerhouse Season 2. We're going to stick with the name, and that series will have a Season 2. It's a lot of identifying some of the general storylines, you know, some of the guys that are coming back and guys that we didn't get a chance to cover last year, like Thatcher Hurd and Alex Malazzo, Hayden Schwinski, all those guys will be leaders of this team and kind of get their rightfully earned place to be featured in this series. So really looking forward to it. We learned so much of what we need to do better and what works really well. So that's huge, having that experience just going into it. And, like, you know, the second time you do something is always going to be a lot faster and easier just because you're more familiar with it. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Last year we shot a lot of preseason stuff. That was because the football workload was a little bit less. But this year, since we've been working on the path so much, the preseason access has been a lot less this year. So it's probably going to be more last year we started December 14th, which is like next week. Season two will probably not start until early January, right before we have our first meet. So, I mean, kind of just taking what worked last year, which was like the access mainly just from the staff allowing us to be wherever we needed to be to tell their story. And now just kind of fine tuning just the technical things, the sound, the coloring, the just everything that goes into making it a full production, kind of nailing those details down.
You guys went to Hollywood. He's going to New York soon, so.
Yeah. From my end, I'm kind of wrapping up the season, and we head out tomorrow morning. Plane leaves at 6 a.m.
There you go.
Go up to Baltimore for Johnny Unitas, and then up to New York City from there, and see what happens after that.
It's trophy season.
Never a dull moment here at South Stadium
Productions. Before we wrap up, I think we got to talk about Gio's speech, too, though.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Gio won.
I saw a little snippet on your Instagram story.
Yeah, down there in Hollywood again, Hollywood, Florida. Gio got up on the stage with his brand new suit, first ever suit.
First one.
First suit, gets up on the stage and has to give a speech. Talk to us through that moment. Were you nervous? Did you write it?
So basically, at the beginning, at the beginning, they were like, whenever you give your acceptance speech, each person will have 15 seconds to give their speech. And there was kind of a short gasp over the crowd. Everyone was like, oh, that's short. So going through, I was like, I don't know. Like, if I end up getting up there, it'll be whatever. And then once it started getting closer, I was like, maybe I should be a little more prepared. So I opened up ChatGPT and kind of let it know. I was like, I am at an award ceremony. I might win something. Like, let me know what I should say in 15 seconds. And it kind of gave me like a little bulleted list. And I was like, okay, I got three sentences. What was the first one? This is an independent award. This is for Mom, Pop, Abigail, and Logan. I ended up accidentally leaving out Logan. Thank you to
Alyssa. What did he say about that?
He just rolled his eyes. He wasn't happy about that. Whenever you got up there, there was like lights in the eyes, and there was a giant teleprompter with like a 15-second countdown that was very concerning to look at. And then the last thing was just like shout out to the gymnast because can't have a show without the cast. So. Keep climbing. Go Tigers.
Y'all finally felt like what it feels like to be on the other side of these interviews, huh?
Yeah.
Now you know how they feel.
Well, we could talk about this for a lot longer time, but like being behind the camera, I've learned a lot about speaking tendencies and cadences and stuff. So I honestly do feel like even though I'm not speaking a lot, I have more familiarity in not saying as much because I cut out every single in these interviews and stuff like that. So that's just something small and kind of unique that you learn and pick up on in doing a lot of interviews.
This might be weird, but sometimes whenever people talk, especially like in a setting like this, I can see like the audio waveform of like people talking.
I think in waveforms.
Yeah. So it ruins a lot of things in a good way for movies and TV shows and stuff.
Yes, it does.
Even some of the best creative minds in the world still need to use ChatGPT. So that is the moral of this podcast. So congratulations.
You'd be surprised.
Yes. Cody uses it a ton, and it's like the new thing now. So congratulations to all three of you for your accomplishments this year, and I appreciate you guys hopping on for a little bit to give our listeners an inside look into what you guys have been working on.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks to Gio, thanks to Dawson, thanks to Matt, thanks to you for listening to this edition of Tigers Win.